Listen to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Tuesday. Feels like Monday.
For you.
It feels like Friday for you because you've been working so hard.
We'll go with that.
Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, it's May 22nd.
It is May 22nd. What coffee do you have on May 22nd?
Anniversary coffee.
Hey, happy anniversary.
Facebook reminded me. I mean, I remembered. I promise.
That'd be really sad if you didn't remember.
Oh, no, I remembered.
Who is more likely to forget? Can we discuss that? Who's more likely to forget the anniversary?
Probably me. I'm terrible with dates and numbers in general. Don't ask me like when we started dating because I can't remember. Luther can tell you.
Yeah.
I can't. Sometime in college.
Well, a happy anniversary, Mr. and Mrs. Golseth. That's exciting. What year is this for the Golseths?
8.
Wow.
I know.
Congratulations.
I won't say it feels like longer.
It's exciting. That's quite a history.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot there.
We have history to talk about today. I'm excited about some history.
Nice job.
Did you like that?
That was good.
I'm getting better at this. No, I'm not. I'm really bad at segues. Hey, Concordia University, Wisconsin, thank you for supporting the Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at kfuo.org in the underwriter section, or you can go to cuw.edu. We have some exciting history to talk about. Now that school's out, we can talk about school.
Right?
Joining us by phone this morning, Mrs. Heather Smith. She's a Lutheran teacher and has a great article in the May issue of the Lutheran Witness, A Gift for Our Children. And I would say a regular guest here on the Coffee Hour. She was one of our inaugural guests during that inaugural week of the Coffee Hour. I just dropped the talking stick. So I guess I have to talk the rest of the time. Heather, welcome back to the Coffee Hour.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's also a double Smith day on
it
KFUO because Mrs. Smith is on this morning. Pastor Smith is on this afternoon.
Yeah.
It's just a talented family. Great article in The Witness this month about Lutheran schools, A Gift for Children, Lutheran Schools. And we were talking before we came on the air. This is an entire history of Lutheran schools summed up in one article. I don't know how you packed it all into one article. What intrigues you to so much about Lutheran education to go back and look at all this history and then compile it in an outstanding article?
Well, it is something that I find truly interesting. I love history. I love education. I love Lutheran theology. This is just like the perfect mixture of everything. And I really believe that when we see where our educational roots came from, it helps us understand the things that were really important to people at different times in history. So I just thought it would be fascinating to see how our schools have grown and what has happened in their history.
Absolutely. Speaking of roots, what are those roots? Where did this this history of Lutheran education in America start?
Well, it really started before our LCMS ancestors even came to America. One of the major reasons that they decided they had to leave Germany and find a new home was because of the schools. The regulations of the German state were getting more and more of over the Lutheran schools in Germany, so that, for instance, some conservative German pastors were forbidden from even supervising or teaching in their own parish schools. And so, you know, even in the very first issue of Der Lutheraner, the predecessor of the Lutheran Witness, you know, there is an article where they talk about it was a chief objective of our emigration that we above all guard our children against unchristian schools. This was they thought it was so important. They were willing to leave their homes, come to a place where they had no money and start from scratch because they knew they didn't want their children to fall away from the faith, and Christian education was going to be the way to preserve them in the faith.
So what did those early American, you know, German immigrant American Lutheran schools look like as they were establishing a new life here in the United States and also kind of really getting their footing, you know, on what life is like in this new land and also connecting with other Lutherans as well here in the United States? What did those early Lutheran schools look like here in the U.S.?
Right. Well, by our modern standards of education, it would look pretty dismal. They didn't have enough teachers. They didn't often have buildings. They didn't usually have very many textbooks. They didn't have much money. So what they did have were students. And very often the pastors would be the teachers for the schools. They were almost always one-room schoolhouses. Very often the same building might be the church and the parsonage and the schoolhouse. And you might have, you know, a pastor who's managing his congregation and teaching up to 100 children in grades 1 through 8. But to them, this was, you know, those things we can deal with. What we have to have is Christian education for our children. And, of course, in some of the larger cities, schools did grow. They were able to get some teachers, but it was, you know, they really made do with what they had, because it's just like the one thing we can't give on is whether we have schools. We absolutely have to. And then as, you know, the Saxon immigrants had been here about 10 years or so, we started to form the synod, working together with other churches. And this was an important part of the formation of our synod as well. In the original constitution, it was required for all churches to provide Christian education for their children. And you can actually look at the numbers. It's interesting to me that in the early years of our synod, there are actually more schools than congregations. So at the founding, there are 14 schools, 12 congregations. Even a little later on, it's the schools still outnumber the congregations, because some of the congregations would you know, start schools in other places to make sure all the children can have Christian education. And even, you know, at conventions, there would be a school sermon praising our schools and reminding people of their importance every year. It was just amazing to me.
Yeah, that's such a rich heritage that still, I think, is pretty strong today. With this, these immigrants coming over and starting the schools in German speaking, I would presume. What did that German German heritage? How did that play into the rise or decline of these schools throughout history?
Well, it played different roles at different times. Early on, it really it attracted a lot of students, and so many of our schools, even in, you know, the early years of the 19th century, 1840s, 1850s, there were a lot of non-Lutheran students who were coming to our schools because they were German schools, and so it actually attracted a lot of people. As time went on, especially around World War I, it became quite the opposite, that the fact that we continued to teach in German, particularly to teach our theology in German, because the founders of the schools felt that that was the way we could make sure it was being faithful. But that became a detriment, and there was post-World War I really strong anti-German sentiment in America. Just for example, in October 1918 alone, in this 1 month, there was a Lutheran school burned in Kansas, another one burned in Missouri, and a school and church dynamited in Ohio, all because their schools taught German. And there was even, you know, a teacher who was arrested for teaching in German, even though he tried to arrange that he could do it just teaching the religion lesson over lunch hour so he wouldn't be breaking the law. But he was still arrested, and his case actually went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. So then in the 1920s, the teaching in German really kind of died out, because it was, you know, there were a variety of reasons where it didn't seem like that was so important anymore.
What has persisted in Lutheran education from those early immigrants to today? What has persisted and made Lutheran education great? What made it what it is today?
Well, it's undoubtedly the determination that that our children need Christian education. In the early days, certainly there was emphasis over and over again that if we don't have schools, then our children will fall away from the church, or potentially fall away from the church, and the church will die. And we don't want that. We have to keep our children in the faith. And even, you know, many years later, I found at the first Lutheran Education Association convention in 1942, a great essay by a speaker there who reminded the schools, we must indoctrinate or disintegrate. We have to teach our children the true faith, or we're going to fall apart because our children will not receive that heritage. And so I think that has always been the thread that ties everything together, is we teach the faith to our children. This is the most important thing.
What does that future look like? How do you see this this thread of teaching our children continuing into the future?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of challenges for Lutheran schools in the future. Really, since the 1960s, there's been a general decline in terms of enrollment and other things. And I think that what our schools face then is we have to just cling to that primary purpose. We're here to teach our children the faith. And like our early immigrant ancestors, we might have to get really creative and think, okay, we know we have to teach our children. We might not have money or facilities or teachers like we would like to have, but how can we still make this work? And of course, there are plenty of ways that people might look at this in terms of technology. I think the whole idea of, what if we went back to one-room schoolhouses? How would that look in the 21st century? I think those are interesting things we might think about, because our Lutheran schools are such a treasure in terms of the need to keep our children just richly, richly grounded, learning the faith, hearing it every day, worshiping with others. That's something that we can't afford to lose. And so, yeah, we should look for what are the things that we could give up. Maybe we can do something really different and yet still provide for our children this one thing needful, Christian education.
Boy, oh boy, you opened a can of worms there. And a couple more conversations, several conversations I'd like to have now, too. And thinking who else we could invite to the conversation when you mention, what if we return to the one-room schoolhouse? Or, from my perspective, what does intergenerational Lutheran education look like in the future? I think that would be
fascinating.
A fun conversation to have, and I think an insightful conversation that really could shape the future of Lutheran education. But our time is up for today, so we don't get to get into that today. But wow, thanks for those the thought-provoking conversation today. Check out Heather's article in the May issue of the Lutheran Witness, A Gift for Our Children. Heather, as always, thanks for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
You're most welcome.
Well, coming up in a little bit, another one of our favorite authors. We've had some great authors on lately.
We have. A lot of good authors.
Yeah. In studio, on phone, not in studio.
Not today.
Because she can't be revealed, right? That was a cheesy segue. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Gulseth.